also never told the Biden campaign about any of it, even though they had just been debating a few feet apart while Trump was likely contagious. Which honestly is surprising. I thought that if anyone would know the protocol for informing partners that you may have infected them, it would be Donald J. Trump. In fact, this is probably the first national security secret that Trump has actually managed to keep a secret. He won't tell you he might have COVID, but brief him about a new weapon system, and on Twitter he'll be like,
"We got a new missile that's totally unstoppable, unless you know the secret code is 32495. Hash, hash, pound, pound, pound."
And if downplaying the virus was on brand for Trump, well, so was what came next. A blizzard of dubious medical information, vague promises, and self-serving lies.
The president's doctors and White House officials have been giving confusing and conflicting information about the president's condition all weekend.
On Saturday, White House Dr. Sean Conley repeatedly dodging questions about whether the president was so sick he needed oxygen.
Yesterday and today, he was not on oxygen. Thursday, no oxygen, none at this moment. Yeah, and yesterday with the team, while we were all here, he was not on oxygen.
But now, Conley says he did actually administer oxygen to the president on Friday at the White House after his blood oxygen dropped.
I was trying to reflect the upbeat attitude that the team, the president, that his course of illness has had. Didn't want to give any information that might steer the course of illness in another direction. And in doing so, it came off that we were trying to hide something, which wasn't necessarily true.
Conley also caused confusion by suggesting the president was initially diagnosed Wednesday. The White House later claimed Conley misspoke. And Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has also contradicted himself.
He has mild symptoms.
Saying that Friday and then admitting the very next day that in fact the president's vital signs had been very concerning and we are still not on a clear path to a full recovery.
Do we have an accurate picture of how the president is doing?
Well, the answer is no.
We just don't know what condition the president is in right now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, what condition my condition was in?
Because while Trump's spin team is painting a rosy picture of his health, outside experts say all the medications that Trump is being given suggest that he's not doing that well. But then again, there's also the possibility that Trump doesn't need all the drugs he's getting. He just wants them, and the doctors are too afraid to say no.
Give me all the pills, all the oxygen.
Because people, these drugs are no joke. Like for instance, just the steroid that he's on, dexamethasone, is wild. Like, listen to this. They say it can cause bad side effects like confusion, delirium, mania, irritability, mood swings, and feelings of grandiosity. Are we sure Trump wasn't already taking the steroids?
So your president just took another dose of dexamethasone, or whatever they're calling it. This stuff is presidential power powder. That's what I'm calling it, the three Ps. We're going to start marketing it because I'm telling you, I'm leaving the hospital right now. I'm leaving the hospital right now. Nobody can stop me. Nobody. Fred Trump over there can't stop me. Okay, Roy Cohn, get out of my way. You know, all these people are visiting me now and they're not going to stop me. We're going to win so strongly.
The dexamethasone is known to have mental health side effects. It can cause psychosis. It can cause delirium. It can cause mania.
Dexamethasone can also cause changes in mood, including a feeling of extreme well-being and temporary burning pain and itching around your anus.
And it burns, it burns, it burns, the ring of fire.
Adding to the confusion this weekend was Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. After Trump's doctor told reporters that the president was in great shape, an anonymous source told these same reporters that actually the president's vitals over the last 24 hours were very concerning, and the next 48 hours will be critical in terms of his care. We're still not on a clear path to a full recovery. Okay, it didn't take long for people to figure out that this anonymous source was Meadows because he was the only White House official at Walter Reed and the only person who could have so promptly briefed the press pool on the president's condition.
So just like his handling of coronavirus as a whole, Trump's handling of his own brush with corona has been marked by secrecy, deception, and just generally ignoring science like it's one of his children. And one other thing that has remained consistent is that, as always, the thing Trump cares most about is how he looks.
The president himself tries to project an image of recovery, releasing photos and video taken inside Walter Reed.
It's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID.
Overnight, the White House released these photos of President Trump appearing to work in the makeshift office set up at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. You see the one taken at the conference table and one from the presidential suite where he filmed last night's update.
Editor-in-chief of the Air Current, John Osterhauer, says that he took a closer look at the data embedded in the photos and found while the photos appear to have been taken over some extended period of time, they were actually just 10 minutes apart.
Critics of the president are questioning the authenticity of these photos, pointing to the blank piece of paper he appears to be signing with a Sharpie.
After being choppered to Walter Reed Hospital on Friday, Donald Trump has now been released back into the wild. There he is, immediately taking off his mask, saluting the Marines and, I'm going to say, camera crew filming this campaign ad. Hey, who's got two thumbs that doesn't care if you live or die? This guy. My thoughts and prayers go out to everyone he's about to infect.
President Trump has just tweeted to the world that he will be leaving Walter Reed Medical Center a short time from now at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, he says. The president, in his Twitter announcement, writing, quote, "Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed, under the Trump administration, some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, America. Don't be afraid of COVID and don't let it dominate your life. Because as long as you can take your private helicopter from your home hospital to an even better hospital, you'll be great. Oh, and by the way, to the 200,000 Americans who got COVID and don't feel better than they did 20 years ago, I guess that's on you.
We have no idea when the president was first diagnosed. He announced a positive test on Twitter at 1 a.m. Friday morning. But when talking about the president's treatment on Saturday, Conley clearly said this.
Just 72 hours into the diagnosis now.
Wait, that was Saturday morning he said that. 72 hours would be Wednesday morning, which would mean Trump spent two full days doing events unmasked, indoors, spreading his virus. So, doctor, are you sure you mean 72 hours? Could somebody help me out here? Ask him.
When was the positive diagnosis made? You said 72 hours. That would put it at Wednesday.
Yeah, so Thursday afternoon, following the news of a close contact, is when we repeated testing.
Oh, repeated testing. You mean to make sure he was a sociopathic disease vector. Good. The White House seems clear that he's saying that, he's saying it happened earlier than they're telling us. Okay. The White House was quick to contradict the doctor's contradiction, releasing a statement saying Conley meant that Trump was on day three of the illness. The diagnosis was made Thursday night, making Saturday the third day into his diagnosis. Okay, so they're lying because they lie. They lie about COVID testing specifically because Trump told at least one White House official who tested positive, "Don't tell anyone. I've learned so much. It turns out the virus was inside me the whole time, and the real treasure were the friends we infected along the way." President Trump isn't the only prominent Republican to test positive for COVID. So have Hope Hicks, Kellyanne Conway, Chris Christie, RNC Chairwoman Ron McDaniel, Republican Senators Mike Lee, Tom Tillis, Ron Johnson, and Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien.
And I get it.
That's right, Mr. President. You get it. Then Melania gets it. Then Chris Christie gets it. Eventually everybody gets it.
So no, you're fake news. Shut up. We aren't passing a COVID relief bill. It's the dumbest thing I've ever... No, we're not passing one. When we're done with the election, when we beat Sleepy Joe very strongly, by the way, we're going to pass a tremendous, a huge, big stimulus bill, a big bill. Right, Mike? You said you wanted it to be called Big Bill. Mike, our great vice president, he's a fan of the truckers. He's always at the truck stops. And they said, he said he has a friend, Bill. Okay, call him Big Bill. And I said, I'll name it after, you know, the truckers, they love Trump. They love Trump. They don't like you so much. They don't like you. But they love Trump. But I think they love Pence even more. We should call them truckers for Pence. But we're not going to do that. We're going to wait. Okay? Why would we do a COVID relief? Think about the words. Think about the words. Excuse me. COVID relief. Why would we want to relieve COVID? Why would we want to give any relief to COVID? It's a vicious, nasty, invisible enemy, trademark approved merchandise at the Trump store. It's a disgraceful, nasty, invisible enemy. I don't want to give COVID relief. In fact, when I was in Willis Reed Hospital, I beat the shit out of COVID. No, literally, I beat COVID. Excuse me, you weren't there. COVID was on the floor of the hospital, crying like a little girl. okay? Like a little pathetic COVID girl. It was down there crying because I beat it up so strongly. So COVID, it might have been a Filipino nurse, but I think it was COVID. And I did so strongly because, by the way, Mike, you already said, you could tell, they gave me steroids, okay? They gave me powerful steroids. And my last night in Willis Reed. And Herman Cain and the great Fred Trump, they visited me. And they said, sir, they called me sir. I love that. They said, you look so strong. And I said, I guess it's the steroids. I beat the shit out of COVID and I look pretty strong. So we're going to pass big bill after the election, but no COVID relief. We're not relieving COVID of anything, okay? And if you keep writing fake news, I might come out there and have to handle you, okay? And believe me, you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. So we'll see what happens.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
So this is your president feeling very strong, very sort of potent. So many steroids. The steroids, I think, are getting stronger from me. That's how strong I am. But I'm here to announce a very special offer, okay, from the Trump store. We are currently selling limited editions of Trump plasma. Trump plasma. You know, I was talking to God last night, and he said, sir, and I said, what do you want? And he said, I think, remember how we had the blood of Christ? Remember this? And I said, yeah, okay, it was, I would have branded it a little better, but it's, you know, a lot of people seem to think strongly of it. And he said to me, what about the blood of Trump? Look how strong you are from COVID. Look how you beat the crap out of COVID. And I said, you're right. So we're now selling Trump plasma on the Trump store, okay? 1 ounce, $5,000 an ounce, okay? And it's results guaranteed. That's not a legally binding statement, by the way. And it's such a great idea because as I learned very strongly, Trump semen costs me money. Anytime I give a woman Trump semen, I either have to give her a check to make it go away, or I'm talking to you, Martha Maples, and my wife, Mesopotamia. It ends up being so costly. Okay, so that's a bad, I can admit, not the strongest business deal. When somebody orders Trump semen, it ends up costing me anywhere between $800 and $80 million. It's a total disaster. But Trump plasma, $5,000 an ounce, guaranteed to kick the COVID's ass. Not a legally binding statement. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But strong breathing, totally powerful.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
You might refuse. Tonight we're gonna take a stab. Come on along, we'll grab a cab. There ain't much to look at, so close your eyes, here we go. We're playing at the talent show. Playing at the talent show. Come on along, here we go. Playing at the talent show. Check us out, here we go. Playing at the talent show.
Yo, Kurt.
Well, we got our guitars and we got our fun picks. And we're going on after some lips and chicks. We're feeling good from the pills we took.
Oh, baby, don't
care about the girl. Ain't much to look at, so close your eyes.
WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties and beyond.
7 FM and online at WGXC.org, and you're going to be hearing those numbers and letters quite a bit over the next couple of hours. Actually, over the next several days. I'm Neva Wartell, and it is time for our Essential Radio Fall 2020 Pledge Drive, going on now through October 13th. And during this time, we are looking to add 30 new sustaining supporters to our goal of securing $5,000 a month in listener support. We are listener-supported community radio for open ears. And at present, where do things stand with our pledge drive? So far, the number of individual one-time donations is 21. We have raised $967 by one-time donations. We have 9 new sustaining supporters. And that means our new monthly donations raised is $105. And we've also pulled in $196 in additional cash collected during live broadcasts and miscellaneous contributions. So you can call 518-697-7400 while you're listening, while you're dancing. Or you can go to wgxc.org/donate.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Gassman of Arlington, Virginia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Natasha Bond is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. A number of political campaign signs have been damaged or stolen in recent weeks at locations in Columbia County. In Gallatin, Greg Galina, the vice chairman of the town Democratic Committee, said he put up 20 campaign signs along Route 11 and Route 7, and approximately a dozen were taken. State Police Public Information Officer Stephen Nebel said, and I quote, "Political campaign signs stolen from or damaged on a person's property is something that is talked about each year, but it is a crime, which could result in legal charges if the person committing the crime was caught," end quote. Jan Hopkins reported to the Columbia County Sheriff's Office that she had seen a truck running over political signs. Lieutenant Lewis Bray of the Columbia County Sheriff's Office said, and I quote, "We do see it typically in an election year, signs being either stolen or otherwise vandalized. Each year we always have some complaints about people's signs," end quote. Bray noted that the total number of incidents involving campaign signs is difficult to calculate because of the way the county records larceny incidents. In Carrieville, Susan Berquist Strong had her Black Lives Matter sign and her neighbor's Biden-Harris sign vandalized this week. In Greene County, Sheriff Peter Kaminsky said the county has not had any reports of campaign signs damaged or stolen this year, but the state police said it is investigating a case in Leeds where a sign was reportedly removed from a lawn. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Donald Trump, super spreader in chief, endangers White House staff. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. As President Trump exited the golden doors of Walter Reed Hospital Monday, a reporter shouted,
"How many of your staff are sick?"
"Thank you very much. Thank
you. Do you think you might be a super spreader, Mr. President?"
Trump ignored him and boarded Marine One to the White House. There, in a bizarre reality show-type display, he marched up to the balcony, waved, saluted, took off his mask, appeared out of breath, then went inside. Trump's defiant removal of his mask threatened the household staff, a majority of whom are older people of color, thus at the greatest risk of serious illness or death from COVID-19. Trump's callous disregard for these workers and the outbreak at the White House overall is a metaphor for his shameful pandemic response, as he denies science, mocks masks and social distancing, and presides over the planet's highest ever-growing national death count. President Trump announced via tweet his and the First Lady Melania Trump's positive COVID-19 test results around 1 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, October 2nd. Evidence suggests a White House Rose Garden event, an indoor reception the previous Saturday, September 26th, where Trump nominated
Judge Amy Coney Barrett
to the Supreme Court before a crowd of over 200 predominantly unmasked people likely spread the virus. At least 11 people at the event, including Trump, have since tested positive for the coronavirus. On Sunday, Trump's press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, announced that the White House would no longer disclose when staff test positive, just one day before she herself tested positive, along with two of her deputies. Also on Monday, The New York Times' Maggie Haberman tweeted, "Two White House resident staff members who tested positive, they work for the housekeeping department. When their tests came back positive, they were told to use discretion in discussing it," she tweeted. When trying to contain a pandemic, discretion is not needed. Aggressive testing, quarantining of those exposed to an infected person, isolation of those who are infected, and contact tracing of those who may have been exposed and should be tested are critical tools to end the pandemic. Dr. Rochelle Walensky of Massachusetts General Hospital shared her concerns about the Rose Garden event at an Infectious Disease Society of America news briefing this Wednesday.
There are over 300 people who work in the White House who might be considered White House essential personnel, who might go home to places where it would be harder to find a test, harder to find quarantine, and who might live in multi-generational households.
The White House, now a COVID-19 hotspot, seems more concerned with controlling the spin than with controlling the spread. So Middlebury College journalist Benji Renton helped create an online White House COVID tracker. Using public reports, pictures, flight manifests, and a tip line, they've identified 327 people linked to Trump and the White House during the past week or two, of whom 35 have tested positive for the coronavirus. They categorize infections by event, including the Amy Coney Barrett announcement, a White House event hosting Gold Star families, and Trump's debate preparation on Sunday, September 27th, the presidential debate in Cleveland on Tuesday, September 29th, a rally in Duluth, Minnesota on Wednesday, September 30th, and a fundraiser at Trump's Bedminster, New Jersey Golf Club on Thursday, October 1st. At all of these events, masks were almost entirely absent. Additionally, all but one of the military's Joint Chiefs of Staff are in quarantine after exposure to a COVID-19 positive admiral.
Nature magazine reported that contact tracing all those who Trump may have infected in the seven states he visited in the week leading up to his COVID-19 diagnosis would be massive but very feasible. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is seeking to contact all 206 attendees at Trump's Bedminster fundraiser, as well as at least 19 of Trump's golf club workers. Wealthy donors and prominent politicians easily access testing and can comfortably quarantine if needed. But what about the workers, those on the front lines of our pandemic response, essential workers keeping the economy going, and those trapped in the White House with a maskless Donald Trump? Ai-Jen Poo, the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, said in a statement, "The outbreak of coronavirus at our highest level of government highlights the urgent need to provide essential worker protections and comprehensive COVID relief for all of us," she said. The White House was built by and later staffed by enslaved people. Racism and white supremacy are built into its walls. Now a dedicated staff of essential workers in the residence, many of them older people of color, cook, clean, provide maintenance, and attend to the first family. President Trump reportedly doesn't wear a mask in the residence. His indifference to those workers and the country at large is criminal and portends a deepening pandemic with many more deaths in the cold, dark months ahead. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 76 degrees. There'll be a chance of showers and thunderstorms Saturday night, mainly between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 50 degrees. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 64 degrees. And Sunday night, a chance of showers mainly after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low of around 46. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Welcome back to the first presidential debate. Two queens stand before me. Gentlemen, before the time comes for you to lip sync for your lives, why don't we begin with some preliminary questions. Joe, how you doing?
Well, first of all...
Okay, I'm bored. Mr. President, here's a softball for you. Can I just get you to, if you don't mind, maybe condemn white supremacy real quick? Just... Maybe you didn't.
He just pours gasoline in the fire, constantly.
Vice President Biden,
if you look at the polls, I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time.
Because
they saw what you did.
I'm having a panic attack.
You and me both.
Oh, my God, Patti LuPone, what are you doing here? I'm busy.
When gay men are in crisis, I just materialize.
Patti, I'm getting nervous. What if this gets reelected?
You got to think positive, doll. Imagine how much better life would be if Trump got dumped.
Shafted?
William Howard Tafted.
If Donald got fired, we could go back to life as we once knew it. Miserable and unfair, but at least without the daily threat of complete authoritarianism and apocalyptic destruction.
Wouldn't that be nice?
If Donald got fired according to plan, just think of the things I could do. I'd stop having nightmares about Kellyanne and finally sing songs about somebody new. If Donald got fired.
If Donald got fired, would that be sublime? I'd put down my bottles and balls. I'd be back on Broadway and belting Sondheim instead of cheap internet parody songs.
Excuse me?
Nothing? If Donald got fired.
President Trump did a phenomenal job.
Donald, quit running your scam. There's nothing to tout.
You're no Abraham.
Donald, we're all in a jam. Please get the hell out and take Lindsey Graham.
It would be so nice if he lost on election day.
I'd
build him a new wall.
I'd pay for his U-Haul.
And I'd let Melania stay.
Really?
No.
Oh, Donald, please go far away.
If Donald got fired, there wouldn't be any more wreck. Less old complainy dictator's regime.
He will destroy this country.
No more smug elites.
Whee!
No more goddamn tweets.
Whee!
Fake news. Fake news.
Look, Daddy, I'm the worst president. Love me, love me.
Donald, the truth might be tough. The polls all project. We've all had enough. Donald, don't stand there and scoff. With all due respect, please kindly off.
I'm not going to do that.
I hope we choose right. The future's so dark and unknown.
There's nothing we cannot do if we do it together.
But there's no deciding. I'm riding with Biden.
I'm voting for Patty LuPone.
Yes, Queen!
O'Donnell! 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 Just leave us alone!
Patty, I'm scared.
Girl, just vote.
Here at WGXE, who's operating on a much smaller budget than even the other public radio stations. So if anybody out there wants more bang for your buck to help out your local community, please consider donating to WGXE. It is tax deductible and really helps out your community. Again, if you're interested in doing that, the phone number is 518-6977-400 or to the more, standard people, 518-697-7400, and we will be happy to take any donation you would have for us.
It's called phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm. Gotta have it.
Nah, I could just say it any way I want. It's all the numbers.
Well, to the nerdiest of us, 7400 is a series of TTL gates that are the basis of the earliest computers. So, yeah, I don't have any trouble memorizing that number. It means a lot to me.
Jill, do you have some information for our listeners?
Well, our theme this time is essential radio, and we are looking for some more sustaining supporters. We have most of the sustaining supporters that we need. We try to reach $5,000 a month. We now need to make $1,722 more a month. So if you call in, 518-697-7400, or go to wgxc.org/donate. Please become a sustaining supporter, $5, $10, $15 a month. And if you mention the Thingularity Radio Program, we have a $20 gift card to Mermaid Cafe in Catskill. Go get some tacos from Michelle. They're wonderful.
So get that donation in as quick as you can, because first come, first serve, we have only one certificate.
And that's for sustaining supporters only.
And those sustaining supporters are the ones that keep the station going. Yeah. By the way, if you happen to really like snail mail, because we still do, you can send in your donation to WGXE, care of Wave Farm, at P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405.
And next we have on the line Rob Gellis, who does the Rob Around the County segment, talking to local historians from Columbia County, and the This Month in History segment. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, thank you so much, Tom.
How are you doing? Tell us about your segments first. What is Rob Around the County?
Rob Around the County, I interview, as I said, town historians and other people who have interesting stories about the past events that occurred or people or places in Columbia County.
And then go ahead, yeah.
And the smaller, the monthly, This Month in History, I do it's a small segment that's run various times during each month on